This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and Upsnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Want more of Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman? Tune in weekly for more divine teachings on living a soul-led life. Want Sarah's books, courses, and free gifts? Visit sarahwiseman.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. That would be me. And it has been a long time since I have been live with you guys. It's been multiple months. You know, as those of you who haven't listened, this is your first time listening or you haven't listened too much, we've been on the air for, I think this is our 11th year. So a lot of shows. And what this is a call-in show. And today is Free Readings Tuesday. So I do invite you to call in if you have questions about intuition or spirituality or the entire process of living from your soul and how you can best manage to do that in this lifetime. I invite you to call in for Free Readings Tuesday right now at 844-390-8255. And really, any kind of question is fine. And I always look from soul perspective at whatever we're working on. So it's a good way to sort of check in. And if you've got something that you have a sense of, but maybe you want a second opinion, or everything's kind of muddled and you're trying to figure it out, or you just feel stuck, please call in for Free Readings Tuesday. And again, we've been doing this a long time. So the way it works is just you just call in. I'll take your call and I will fit as many folks as I can during our time together today. So 844-390-8255. So our topic for today is, can we really fix others? Learn why our job is not to fix others or change them or direct them, but to simply witness their soul path with love. And for a lot of us who fall on the side of overhelper, really love the people in our lives. As one astrologer once said that I was a smother mother, and I'm sure that some of you out there are this way too. We just feel with such compassion the people suffering around us, and we want to help. We want to help and we want to lift up. And also for so many of you out there listening, You feel and you see and you know and you sense everything, right? So you have this intuitive knowing or this empathic understanding, and it's there for you all the time. It's not something you can turn off. And so when people come into your life, whether it's your family or your friends or your coworkers or even the bigger communities of the world, you feel it all You want to lift it up. You have such great love and empathy in your hearts. You want to help. Over and over, people who are coming to me to do the intuitive training are saying, I just want to help others. And so we can help others, and we are here to help each other. And yet, this idea of fixing may not be the best way to look at things. This idea of helping and what that is, right? What is our role to help as people? And what is our role to help as a soul? So we're going to be talking about that a little bit more in just a moment. I do invite you to call in for free readings Tuesday. We have, looks like all the lines are free. Sometimes when we come back after an absence like we've had, people are hesitant or they forget, but just go ahead and call in to 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255 for free readings Tuesday, and I would love to chat with you about whatever is going on in your life. I wanted to, for our housekeeping, a few things. Some of you missed the signups for Fall Intuition University, and that program is going like gangbusters. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but we now have our first. The first training is 8 weeks. It's kind of a way for you guys to just kind of see if it's a fit for you and if it's what you want. Then we go into year one, where we really dive deep. And after that, we've had quite a number of graduates from the reader training program, which is new, training people to be psychic readers. And those folks can be found on the Visionary Psychics page of the website. So it's exciting. It's very exciting to gather people from all over the world and meet all these incredibly intuitive, gifted intuitives and empaths and healers that show up, and we work together. So if that's something of interest to you, we're having winter signups now. It's a little early, but fall sold out, so I'm trying to open winter for those of you, and that's on the website under training. And we are currently working right now in our self-study courses. We are working on the mediumship project, and that teaches you how to safely contact your departed loved ones. And the key is safely. So we're going to create a container where you're only going to be reaching those who you know and love. You're not going to be reaching anybody random out there in the multifaceted universe. You're just going to meet the ones you love, and how to connect with them, and how to communicate with them. And this is, such a beautiful, comforting, healing thing to be able to do. And pretty much all of you can do that. So that's called the Mediumship Project. You'll find those of these at sarahwiseman.com. Again, free readings Tuesday, lines are open, 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255. Let's talk about this idea of fixing others. Some of you guys know I do ecstatic dance, and one of the teachers I really like is Michael Mullen Skelton, and he does this really cool piece. And I don't know if it's his or he found it somewhere else. I actually don't know that, but I've heard his performance of it. And it is the idea of nothing needs fixing. And he just continually says this statement over a period of time, nothing needs fixing. And I'd like you to just kind of bring that into your own awareness. Nothing needs fixing. And closing your eyes and really allowing yourself to drift on this work. Nothing needs fixing. nothing needs fixing. And understanding and feeling the magnificent vastness of the universe and your perfect place as a soul, infinite soul, this lifetime, past lifetimes, before that, this lifetime, future lifetimes after that, your soul essence continuing on all through time, whatever that is, and also through all the other parallel dimensions of parallel lifetimes, not past, not future, but happening now. And here you are as soul, your infinite consciousness, a part of collective consciousness, which is the universe. And nothing needs fixing. And then if you take yourself back down to the smaller part of you, which is this beautiful human self, right? With all the struggles, all the drama and the trauma and the mistakes and the feelings and the things that you did that you wished you hadn't done, and the things that you failed to do that you wished you had. And just this whole beautiful, incredible mess of your life, the mess of everyone's life, no matter how good it's going, it's always this kind of chaotic, everything going on at once. This is the nature of the mind. And nothing needs fixing there either. No matter what you're going through or what's happened to you or what you're facing, nothing needs fixing, because we have this infinite part that is the bigger essence of who we are. And I'd love for you to just have this feeling for yourself today. Nothing needs fixing. And also have this feeling for the others in your life. You know, if you can accept that you are a soul, well, then certainly everyone else with you, they're also souls. They're not just their human selves. And so can you really imagine that their soul needs any help from you? No. We are all sort of, we're all here to help each other in our human lives together. But in terms of our soul selves, nothing needs fixing. And in terms of our human selves, this is the journey. This is the journey. You know, we come in as souls, we work through a human lifetime, and that is where kind of like the challenges and the tests and the beauty and the grace all is just thrown at us. And our job or our mission or our destiny is to see how well we can get through it this time. How well we can transmute all that pain into something that is not suffering. And so when we see another person, especially when we're with these beautiful empathic beings, you know, we want to lift them up, we want to help them, and yet it's not our job to fix. No matter what we know or see, we're not meant to swoop in there and trying to straighten somebody out. We are meant to continue on our path and when we are walking alongside someone else, we journey with them, we accompany them, we're with them, but we're not trying to carry them on our backs. We're walking together up the path. Nothing needs fixing, not you, not your life, not the people around you. This is plenty. We have plenty just as we are. We are experiencing everything we need to experience right now. We're going to talk a little bit more about this and kind of the pitfalls of some ideas of codependency and some other ideas in just a moment. Do invite you to call in to 844-390-8255. For free readings Tuesday. That's 844-390-8255. And don't be shy. This is our first week back after a long break. So lines are open, but as we get going, lines are going to be full, is what's usually been happening. So now is a great time to call in if you're interested in getting your free reading or talking about anything that's been going on in your life. We are going to take a quick break, and we will be back in just a moment with more Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman.
I was just kind of hoping, I was just thinking like maybe, it's just that what I want is, it's...
I knew you when I met you, quite different from the start. Speak God and sex with one voice, no difference in the three. My door, it is wide open, ancient captivity. Take love and faith with one breath, no difference in a kiss. I want you to be my little me. I want you to see right through me. Won't you take it all and bring it to me? I want you to be my little me.
So I was just, you know, I saw you the other day, and I was just kind of thinking maybe we could. I was just thinking maybe.
But I'm the one you need. Hold all your lies with one hand. Cut me and I bleed. I want you to be my little man. I want you to see right through me. Won't you take it all and bring it to me? I want you to be my little man.
Alrighty, we are back with more Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman. We are talking about the idea, can we really fix others? And I want to give you guys two more ideas. Please, it's Free Readings Tuesday. Call in to 844-390-8255. 844-390-8255. I want to tell you a little story about something that happened to me the other day. My husband and I were down at the river on the Willamette River in Independence, Oregon, which is a place that we just love and go there a lot. It's a tiny little town, and we like to pull up these sort of foldable camping chairs. So we drive to the area and then we carry the little camping chairs and then in these little bags. And then we take the camping chairs out and we sit by the river and we watch it. And there's often osprey and hawks and eagles and fish jumping sometimes. And it's just super interesting and exciting and lovely. And so we were there. We do this quite a bit in the summer. It's like a place where we meditate or just hang out and kind of relax. And we tend to start to notice when you're in nature at this level, you start to notice, you start to notice how the birds swoop, or you start to notice the light on the river and how it changes from day to day. And you start to notice how the trees are changing their color gradually each time you visit. You know, one day they're green and then now they're just a little bit drab. And then the next day they're kind of yellow, and the next day they're going to be orange or whatever color they're going to go to. And we were just looking down at all of this, taking it all in, just kind of in this gentle nature trance. And my husband looked down and he said, "Do you see that rock there?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "You know, the rock is moving." And I'm like, "What?" And so I'm looking at this rock he's pointing to, and I realize it's not a rock at all. It's a very, very, very tiny stony bug, not like a beetle, like you might think, or something common, something never seen before to my eyes. And I've been in nature a lot. And then looking down and realizing that there's not just one of these little rocks, there's several. And that scattered in all the pebbles are many tiny, not a lot, it wasn't like a swarm, it was no problem. But this idea that this thing that we thought was a rock was actually something else. And I want you to just kind of keep that image. It's a little, maybe for some of you, a little squeamish. You're like, "No, I don't want the rocks to be bugs." But just have this idea that not everything is as we see it, right? And when we're looking at somebody else that we know, "Oh, I just know exactly what's right for them. I know how to fix them. I can help them." Perhaps they're not a stone at all. Perhaps they're a bug. Or perhaps what you're seeing is your perspective from your soul understanding. But they have a different experience. And this is why we're not meant to swoop in and help and fix. We're meant to witness and pay attention and notice. So Free Readings Tuesday, 844-390-8255. And we have Joy calling in. Joy, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you got in. It's our first day back in a long time. So what is going on, or what can I help you out with today?
Everything you're saying really kind of resonates with my question. So my family has gone through a lot of like trauma in terms of my relationship with my husband and our relationship with our parents and things like that. And we're coming out of it. And I think we're healing a lot from it, and I think actually learning to do the witness rather than try to fix each other. But I was wondering if you had any kind of insight on where to go from here. Is there anything we're missing?
Yeah,
are we seeing it clearly?
Absolutely. So, do you feel that the pandemic and the challenges that came from that sort of pushed some of this stuff to your, like it kind of caused the trauma to become more pronounced? Like if you hadn't been in this situation of the pandemic, do you think you would have missed it? Or how does that relate to you?
Oh, I think it pushed everything, like it made everything kind of rise to the surface. Everything that kind of wasn't healed, wasn't addressed, became like in the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've also had a huge amount of family trauma and drama this last year. And that's what I think. I think that the pandemic almost squeezed us into this place where we had to look at everything. And if things weren't working, a lot of things just exploded. How far do you think you are? What I'm sensing for you is that you're starting to come into this stage of grieving. You've recognized all the trauma, you've faced it, you've worked on it. And now there's this piece where a lot of it's better. And it's like you're catching your breath looking at what did I go through. And it feels like you're either starting or you're about to start kind of this grieving for the loss of how you wanted things to be or how you thought things were going to be. What does that feel like for you?
You know, I haven't been conscious of that, but as you say that, my eyes are welling up and I feel it. So I think you're spot on.
Yeah. And I don't know, like when we're in active trauma, you know, we're responding more in a adrenalized emergency way for quite some time, even maybe over months. And then we do start, especially in families, we start working stuff out. We start looking at things. We start talking. We start making decisions about our boundaries. And then now you're in this place of, okay, we got through that emergency. And then like what just happened, we're reflecting on it. And it's almost the level of a death or a divorce or some really big loss, what you've been through. And so the grieving.
My husband's mom just died.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
There's all that.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So the grieving. How do you find it? Have you grieved before in your life? Do you remember the time? Do you remember what that was like?
Yeah, very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you may respond similarly. I know when my father passed, I just went, this was a long time ago, but my response was to go numb for 3 or 4 months. I just couldn't even, it was so painful. I couldn't even look at it. And then 4 months later, driving in the car, suddenly crying, you know, oh, now I'll do the grieving. So yeah, you may. So what does it feel like? Like, what do you have to hold together still for you? Like what?
Oh, I'm working full time. I have a son in high school, you know, house, all that kind of stuff. But yeah. I'm just like feeling lately, not this relentless push to work, but I'm just making tons of time and space because I just don't feel like doing anything. So mm-hmm. I'm taking walks and just kind of making space for it. And that feels right. And it feels like all I can do pretty much, you know.
And who are you trying to
doing my work?
Yeah. Who are you trying to support right now? Do you feel like it's your responsibility to support?
You know, my husband, he lost his mom, my son, mm-hmm. My students,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
friends, the world.
So, I take a lot on,
you know, yeah. Obviously. But, you know, I'm trying to have better boundaries in terms of, okay, that's not mine. I can't fix it. You know, I can only attend to this.
Yeah. Do you think you can
try to stay sane with that?
Yeah. It feels like with your husband, the responsibility, like he's just going to have to do his own thing and his own approach. And I don't know that being overly supportive will be. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I just think he has a lot to unpack and I'm not really part of any of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Almost like you can opt out of that processing because it's not really yours for some reason. It's his. Yeah. And how do you feel in general about the grieving of your husband's mom, yourself personally? What does that feel like to you?
I feel like she's been gone a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's doing a lot better
mm-hmm.
where she is now. And I feel like we had some unresolved stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, we loved each other, but we just did not really get along super well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like missing like a not a close friend, but like a friend you knew, you know, someone you knew a long time and were kind of on the same path with, but not really. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm not feeling very intense emotion about it.
Right. It's more like she wasn't part of your primary soul circle, even though she was related to you by family. You were sort of more distant companions. So allowing
that. Yeah, you know, we would see her once every other year or something, or once a year because she lives, you know, across the ocean. So.
Yeah. Although I wouldn't, it feels like, so I'm not really receiving too much on her actually at all, but I am receiving the idea that she may have things to say to you from the other side that she might not have ever said to you, connect with you or ask you to take care of things for her in terms of your other family members. So I would just be aware of dreams, and in meditation she might show up, and that might be surprising to you because you maybe weren't that close, but she sort of knows she can reach people through you, and so she may use you as a way to connect in for a little while. Joy,
I'm kind of closing at sorry, thank you so much.
Oh no, you're good. Take it easy on yourself.
Things have been moving in the house and closing and physically changing. So I think that's her.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for calling, and we wish you the best. It's always a hard time to lose somebody, even if you're not super close to them. It's hard on everyone and shifts out all the relationships around. So thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thank you for your kindness and compassion and listening. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
So we are on Free Readings Tuesday with Ask Sarah, 844-390-8255, 844-390-8255. Lines are open. I want to invite you guys to look at this idea of grieving, even if the grieving, you know, maybe you're not crying, maybe you're not feeling anything in particular, but you just feel this kind of general dullness and malaise. And what we've been through, even if you haven't lost a person who's passed away, or even if you haven't had a lot of drama, what we've been through collectively the last year or so has created a lot of loss in the collective, that is all of us. And so just look at, sometimes we think, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm stressed out, but possibly you're grieving. And just look at that piece and see if that fits for you. Perhaps you're grieving the life we once all knew together. Perhaps you're grieving specific people. Perhaps you're grieving the end of something else. Perhaps you're finally looking at past trauma and grieving that. Just look at that idea. Maybe you're grieving. Let us go to Mary Ann. Mary Ann, welcome to the program. Hi, are you there?
I'm here.
Mary. Oh, hi. Good.
Me?
Thank you. Yes, perfect. Are you a student also in the Intuition University?
I am.
Okay. Because Mary Ann.
I missed the live call.
Oh, right. Well, good. No, I'm glad. I thought it was you, because that's a somewhat uncommon name nowadays. So, well, good. What can I help you out with? What would you like to look at?
I have definitely feel like I'm in the middle of a major transition, and my life partner wants to relocate, and I'd be leaving my home, connections, and everything that's been a big part of my life for the last 30 plus years. And on one hand, I feel called to maybe make a dramatic change in life, but it's posing some real anxiety. It's playing out against the situation in my family with a mentally ill adult son. And so the leaving is more complicated for me than just how it affects me. And yet, I also feel that I should embrace change and not mm-hmm. let fear hold me back. So it's a little bit of my, and it's all coming together very fast. I've been very rooted in my professional life has been an anchor, and I'd be releasing that at the same time. So it feels right. pretty overwhelming.
Whoa. Yeah. No, what is the region? What region would you be going from, and where would you be going to? This sounds like they're pretty different.
I'm in California, Northern California, and I'd be relocating to Eastern Tennessee.
Wow.
That
Northern
is a
California.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo. And what is for your partner, what's the draw? Why do they want to go there?
Well, we've been together about 10 years. I think it's a fresh start. I think it's, he's getting close to retirement age. There's a lot of appeal in making a change. And he's just generally dissatisfied with California. And he's worked really hard. And I feel like, you know, in the spirit of partnership, I opened up to let's talk about it. But then things started happening quickly. And what I don't want, Sarah, is I don't want to leave to escape.
Right.
Because the situation in my personal life with my son is very difficult. And so it's a point of self-examination, but also I'm feeling ready to make other bigger changes for myself, professionally. And I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah. Staying where but you are. Yeah. Well, yeah. So, I know that you and I are going to work together. So this is just the early info that I'm getting on this. It feels like the desire for change is correct, and you're having an impetus to go. And part of this desire to let go of this huge responsibility for your son is really okay. Like, you can let go of feeling guilty about wanting to let go of that burden or responsibility. What it feels like, however, is that Tennessee is not, like, you might go there for a while, maybe, but that's not going to be your permanent settling spot. So possibly looking at that as an adventure, or even as a possibility with the idea that another place might show up pretty soon after, or even before you go there. Every time I try and, like, I'll visually try and put you on my viewing screen, and I'll try and move you from Northern Cal to Tennessee, and you keep bouncing back, like nothing sticks when you're there. So looking at it as this idea of, yes, I'm moving. My partner wants to go to Tennessee. Yes, I'm moving. It may not be Tennessee. It's such a cultural change for you. It's not a place that's a good match for you, with your understanding, and just kind of, it's too much. So kind of looking at that, and maybe renegotiating why that's the pick, or maybe negotiating, we'll try it out for a year. That's an adventure. You probably learn a ton, but having the option to do something different, not make that, it doesn't feel permanent at all. It almost doesn't feel possible even, but it certainly doesn't feel permanent. Where else would you like to go?
You have any sense
besides out that? What?
Where did you say?
Oh, no, where else? Where are you interested in going? That's not Tennessee.
Well, my family we're originally all from the East Coast, and I've always felt very comfortable there. And I'm attracted to places that are near water. Mm-hmm. And most of the relocation has been driven by his interest. Not that I don't have a voice, I really do.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
because
I get that.
He's older than I am. He's closer to retirement. I mean, there's other more pressing factors for him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's, I guess, the short answer. I'm not sure.
And have you visited Tennessee yourself?
Yes, I was there in July.
Mm-hmm. And what did you feel about it?
Well, on a very empathic level, I've always struggled a little with being in mm-hmm. some parts mm-hmm. of the South. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But Eastern Tennessee is beautiful. It's mm-hmm. very restorative, like the nature, the beauty of the nature and mm-hmm. the water. I don't know from a lifestyle standpoint, having been a lifelong, I was born and raised in California, which is not that mm-hmm. typical, and lived here my entire life. So yeah, it feels very, very different. But yeah. My goal, Sarah, was to be open to the whole scenario and not to have some mm-hmm. preconceived ideas about what may or may not work. Yeah. And to try to listen to my intuition, which is feels like I need more clarity because of,
yeah.
of the emotional burdens I'm carrying are getting in the way of clarity. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And
you know,
I'm
not even sure that that's actually it for me. And I'll just give you this and then I'll let you go because I know we're going to talk later in a private
okay.
reading, but it feels like the emotional burden, it's okay to let that down for a little while. It's not going to be, you're just going to have mm-hmm. a breather from it. It's okay to relocate. Mm-hmm. It's okay to change, but I'm not sure where you've picked is the right. In fact, I'm completely not sure. That's not the right place. And so it's fine as an adventure, but I wouldn't be like, oh yeah, we're moving there forever. Nah, it's not gonna work. So going into it with some different views, like an adventure is great.
Is there a place that pops into your head?
Well, I don't think it's really East Coast. I was sort of meditating on Maine as an option, but that sort of bounced back too. So I think just uh-huh. keep looking, and it's okay to not know, and it's okay to go to Tennessee for a year and then try again. Adventures are great, uh-huh. but I wouldn't get too tied into the idea that it's gonna be your place forever, because it's just not showing up that way. Well, Marianne, thank you so much. And okay. I will look forward to working with you more
thank
on
you
this.
For,
but,
thank you for yeah. your time. I am also really looking forward to it. All right.
Absolutely. Okay.
Soon, Sarah. Thank
Thanks
you.
So much.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. You know, a lot of us are really feeling, it's interesting because the housing market is so different right now. And yet a lot of us are really feeling this urge to move from where we were. And part of this is just coming out. This pandemic has, like in like AA or other, you know, they call this like doing a geographical, we want to move because we think that'll change everything. And in some cases, it actually does change a lot. Breaking through from patterns, breaking through of routines, being around new kinds of people, being in a new region or landscape really opens us up a lot. On the other hand, we bring everything that we've already been working on to the new place as well. So feeling that urge to move is also feeling that urge to change, and kind of looking at both sides of that. Let us go to Terry. Terry, welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hi. Very good. Thank you. What is on your mind, or what can I help you out with today?
Well, what's on my mind is when the pandemic started in 2020, of course, like everybody, I was very, very fearful. I was kind of like crazy fearful.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, in the beginning of 2021, I had this desire to, or this call to read a book, Angels in My Hair, again.
mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so I started reading that, and I was just sitting there and I was reading, and I looked up towards our kitchen. and I saw this vapor-like cloud just mm-hmm. kind of go across the kitchen. And I went, you know, wow, that's interesting. And then I just got this feeling like I'm just got whacked in the head, like, you got to snap out of this. This mm-hmm. what you're, you know, the mood you're in. So then I just wanted to, you know, find out more and more. And I have had intuitive feelings since all my adult life. And, you know, I would hear things or I would see things in my mind's eye. And I just kind of put that aside. But now I have this huge desire to find out more. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to know if you see if I'm on the right path here, because I'm just kind of going after it full speed ahead. And I don't know if I'm going too fast or if I'm being led the right way.
That's very exciting. I don't know. I've heard of that book. I haven't read it. But something really similar happened to me when I read, and this was so long ago, I read Doreen Virtue's book, Divine Guidance, which is all about how to receive guidance from your guides and angels. And I was holding that book in my hand, putting it onto a, well, anyway, it's a long story, but I had unpacked that book. I was holding it in my hand. And that's when I heard the voice. The guide said, "We want you to write this using writing." And that was when mm-hmm. I started to receive the 33 lessons in channeling. So I think some books, and I don't think it really matters what book it is. It's like what book it is for each person, like the right book will find you. And it acts as kind of a portal to open you to this idea that this other reality exists. So in your own practice, what I found is that I couldn't find anybody at that time I did it all by experimentation with my own meditation. And I'm feeling like that will be the best. Yes, there are lots of resources, but it's your own experience and your own practice that is going to bring you in particular the most results. What are you doing for your practice?
Well, I'm learning how to meditate. I've been, you know, doing that, and that's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. I see things when I'm meditating. I see faces mm-hmm. that just kind of drift in, drift out. Mm-hmm. One time I saw like a circle with somebody, you know, like I'm over here kind of thing. And I'm like, right. Oh, that's interesting. So I, you know, something's going on there in meditation. Mm-hmm. I've tried the using cards. I'm not very good at that yet, I don't think. The oracle cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just started working on with that.
I think that for you, I don't know that. I mean, I use cards from time to time, but I think I wouldn't go with cards as your beginning place. I would work on, you might call it soul travel or soul journeying or intuitive meditation. And that's kind of what I teach. If you go to my courses page, and here I just said you should do your own thing, but maybe there's some courses there, like the Guides and Angels Project, to get you kind of jump started into how
I'm
to
actually
reach the
on
guides.
That page right now looking at it.
Perfect. Yeah, I think the Guides and Angels Project would be the one that would be, with what you're experiencing, would be the one that would be best for you. And, and you know, make your own rules. Like, if you don't like what I'm saying in a course or what somebody else is saying in a course or book, try your own thing. And this is for everybody. Like, our connection to our soul and the universe, like, we know what we're doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing, you know what you're doing. And just kind of see what happens. There's not a lot of rules, or a lot of the old superstitions are really dated. And this is, you know, it's our birthright to be able to connect to these other realms like this. So that might be a good thing for you.
Yeah, I think I'm trying too hard to hear, yet I intuitively, mm-hmm. I think I am hearing,
Yes.
Even when I go out for my walks, you know, I'm directed in what direction to go.
Yeah.
And then I find all kinds of gifts along the way. So,
yeah, I think it feels exactly right. And I also wouldn't worry. Like, I'm a very practical person and I have this super etheric side both. And I feel like that's for you. Don't worry. You can be super grounded and do all these practices. And if that's your personality, that's what's going to work best for you. So don't worry about having to like get a purple cape or, you know, just be your normal self and have this as your spiritual practice of connecting to the universe. So,
yeah.
Well, Terry, good luck to you. I'm so excited. It's very exciting. Yeah. Thanks for letting us know. And, just looking forward to connecting. We're going to be talking about all aspects of spiritual intuition. If you are looking for me, let's see, we've got signups for the training for winter, and we've got the mediumship project is our featured course right now. Just go to sarahwiseman.com and you will find all that information there. Everyone, thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and look forward to being with you next time. Thank you.
Want more of Ask Sarah with Sarah Wiseman? Tune in weekly for more divine teachings on living a soul-led life. Want Sarah's books, courses, and free gifts? Visit sarahwiseman.com.
Shanti.